Matic, my name is Mike.
Hey,
man. You know, first of all, I want to thank, Dean and, convention for having me out here. This is like my favorite convention, man. You know what I mean? I never thought I'd be here, man, 7 years ago. You know what I mean? Seriously, I'm like just overwhelmed with gratitude, man, and thankfulness. You know, if I start going too long, man, just grab my ass and sit me down, Dean. I'm serious. You know, when Dean called me like 2 months ago, and for some reason I missed a call. You know, I had this feeling like, you know, maybe he needed something. I don't know if anybody feels that way when you get certain calls, right? So I should have saved the daggone message, man. I checked the message, right? And Dean's like, you know, hey, Brother Mike, you know, I'm just checking on you, see how you're doing. You know, same old, same old. So, you know, I figured, man, let me give him a call back. I think it was the next day I called him. He didn't answer the phone. Next day he called me. I was sleeping in the bed. It was like 9 o'clock in the morning. I answered the phone, man, and he asked me, you know, have I ever spoke at the convention, man? I knew. I was like, man, that motherfucker, man. Like, you know, I knew it was something, man, but, you know, it's just good, man, to be up here with somebody that I've been in service with before. You know what I mean? Somebody I've known for, you know, 5 years. You know, we've been in, you know, involved in H&I and stuff like that before and gone to meetings together. You know, Dean, same as well for Dean. You know, really, man, this is the first time I've ever done this for a convention, right? And what I'm going to try to do, I prayed a lot about it, man. Trust me. You know, I'm real nervous. This is not my favorite thing to do. I can't talk a lot, but it's not my favorite thing to do. But I'm going to try to keep it simple, man, and just tell y'all, you know, my experience, right? Mind if I get that soda, man? In case I get thirsty. Appreciate that, man. So, you know, I'm a product of two addicts, right? Both my parents are addicts. I grew up, man, pretty good household. I'm an only child. I'm spoiled as hell. You know what I mean? I got pretty much everything I wanted when I was growing up, man. You know, I grew up with my mother and her husband. And, you know, throughout my life, man, you know, there was something about me. You know, I hate to sound, you know, very cliche and generic, but, you know, there was something about growing up, man, that, like, I just never felt okay with me. You know, if I could just have what everybody else had, you know, I always felt that, you know, things or, you know, being in a different situation would fix, you know, the way I felt about me. And the bottom line was I just never accepted just being me. You know what I mean? You know, like growing up for me, man, I always wanted to be like my father. I always share about my father because, you know, he was like my first role model. My father was, you know, he grew up in the city. He was a real tough guy. Real old-fashioned, and he worked with his hands. He had tattoos all over his body, you know what I mean? And, you know, he used to always, you know, tell me about fighting people. And, you know, he grew up the way I grew up, sort of, you know what I mean? But worse, he had a lot worse than me. And, you know, that was what I was attracted to from a young age, you know what I mean? My mother's husband, on the other hand, was a real positive guy. He always tried to, you know, really do the best for me and, you know, he was like really one of the most positive people in my life, but you know, for some reason, man, I don't know what it was, man. I wanted to go down the other road, right? I don't know what it was, man. It was something attractive about that, right? For me, the lifestyle has always been more attractive than the drugs. And you know, it's a piece in the literature that says, you know, we didn't become addicted in one day, so easy does it, right? You know, I started using for the first time when I was 10 years old. And, you know, from the first time, man, from when I got out the gate, I was ready. You know what I mean? I was ready, man. You know, I always told people I got off the porch early. You know, from the first time I put that thing in my system, man, let me say this, man. I don't like to talk about, you know, my drug of choice, man, was drugs. You know what I mean? Free and more. That was my drug of choice, man. Say in the literature, it doesn't matter what you use, how much you use, who your connections were, what you did in the past. The only thing that matters if you're here is if, you know, what you want to do about your problem, how we can help. You know? So for me, man, you know, it didn't matter what it was, man. Anything I put in my body, man, I chased that, man. You know what I mean? And in the very beginning, there was a time, like it says in the literature, for a time it was pleasurable. And then the euphoria began to wear off, man. That thing wore off fast. I mean, real fast. You know, I didn't have no 20-year run. I used for about 6 years, man. I didn't have a 20-year run. It wasn't fun for 20 years. You know what I mean? You know, consequences caught up with me real fast. Real fast. I'm one of those addicts, right, that you know, when I use, man, I can't stay out of trouble, man. You know what I mean? There's you know, I skipped over my whole childhood. I didn't know it at the time, but what I understand now from being around and talking to predecessors and doing step work is that by choosing to get to use at a young age, man, what I was doing was I was making the decision to skip over my childhood. You know what I mean? Because there was kids in my neighborhood that was doing stuff like riding bikes and, you know, building jumps and stuff like that, man. And, you know, I don't know what other kids was doing, but I wasn't doing that, you know. And drugs was always around me, man. I can remember being 8 years old, and I went over to my best friend's house, and he asked me if I want to see what weed looked like, and I was like, yeah, right? And we went over there, and he pulled out 2 ounces of coke out of his bread box from his mother. And I thought it was supposed to be green, man. You know what I mean? I didn't know, you know, we didn't know what we was doing, right? And I didn't use that day, but, you know, that stuff was always around, man. And the first opportunity I got, I jumped on it, man. And, you know, from then on out, you know, I never played sports, right? I never excelled in school. I never did any of that kind of stuff, man. You know, from 10 years old up, it was all about using, man, every day. And I'm not even going to say it fixed me, man, but it did seem like the solution to my problems, man. And before long, you know, the same thing that was the solution to my problems ended up, you know, causing all of my problems. You know, as I got older, man, you know, a little bit older, you know, my relationship with my mother, who was my best friend, started to deteriorate. You know, I was constantly in and out of, you know, getting picked up by the police, man, every couple months. I accumulated probably like 10 charges, man. From 12 to 16, you know, I just put myself in a lot of bad situations. You know, I kept my mother up a lot of nights, man. You know, we don't think about that stuff when we're doing it, man. But that stuff, you know, don't nobody else matter when I'm doing my thing, man. Nobody else matters, man. I don't think about anybody else but myself. And, you know, and I'll do whatever I gotta do to get that thing, man, to get one more. Man, I'm nervous, man. You know what I mean? It's good stuff, though, man. I keep trying to tell myself I'm happy to do this. I'm excited, but I don't like doing this stuff, man. You know what I mean? You know, I just try to pump myself up a little bit. But this is, though. This is fun, man. You know what I mean? The fact that we're here, it's like 5,000 plus people here. You know what I mean? It's a beautiful thing, man. I was telling my girlfriend, you know, she's not an addict. I brought her with me this weekend, and I was telling her, like, it's a lot of people here that if they wasn't in this room right now, it'd be some, you know, it wouldn't be no good. It would be no good, right? Let me get back on track, man. I'm trying not to hold a meeting hostage and move along a little bit. But, you know, long story short, you know, all the relationships and stuff started deteriorating in my life, man. I started using with my father when I was 14. And he was the type of guy, I always share this story, you know, he was always into fighting and stuff, man, and he was real confrontational, and, you know, there was times where he lived with us in our house, you know what I mean, he lived with us, you know, when he get out of jail, he'd come live with us with my mother and my stepfather, man, they'd help take care of him, and then, you know, he tried to do things his way, and, you know, he stole money from me when I was a kid, you know, that kind of stuff, man. And, you know, but I didn't put that stuff together when I was a kid. Now when I look back at it and I think about, you know, my money went missing. My dad was living there, you know what I mean? I understand now, but, you know, I didn't know it back then. And, you know, he was real confrontational with my stepfather, man. He kind of turned me against him. My mother would always say when I would go to my father's house for the weekend and I would come back home, it was like they had to reprogram me because I'd be so messed up in the head from the type of stuff that he would put in my head. You know, basically, you know, my father just, you know, he did the best that he could, but he gave me a lot of misinformation. You know what I mean? I remember the last time I got locked up, I caught these two charges in a week, 6 days apart. And he picked me up both times. And the second time I had gotten put out of high school, which at that time I wasn't going to, right? at all. I was barely showing up. You know, by the time, that's another thing, man. School had no meaning to me. I'm talking about in middle school, you know what I mean? By the time I got in high school, man, I wasn't even really going. I never bought a pencil or a binder or a book bag or none of that. The whole time I was in school, I would go to see where everybody else was going and find out, you know, where the drugs was, you know what I mean? So when I got picked up this last time, I called this guy that I considered to be like my using sponsor. Right, one of the guys that taught me all the street stuff, you know what I mean? Taught me how to use, man, and taught me about game, and, you know, what he did was he told me I should try to get into treatment, right? And my father, man, this is the type of stuff my father used to tell me, right? He told me, when I was preparing to go to court a few months later, he was telling me, just take the time. Don't try to go for probation. You don't want that hanging over your head. Just take the time, man. And I was like, yeah, you're right, right? You know, because in my mind, man, you know, a lot of guys I grew up with had already been in, you know, institutions and stuff like that, and it was like a badge of honor. You know what I mean? You know, but I was still scared, man. I didn't want to go to Boys Village or something like that, man. You know what I mean? I was scared, right? So I called this dude up, man, and he had already been through that, right? See, I was reaching out for experience before I even got here. And let me back up real quick. You know, my father's been in and out of the rooms his whole life. That's how him and my mother met, right? They met in the 12-step fellowship, and they both fell off and, you know, fell back into active addiction. And, you know, when I was a kid, man, I used to go to meetings, some of the same meetings I go to now, you know what I mean, with my father, man, and watch him go up there and pick up, you know, key tags and stuff like that, man. And, you know, but he could just never really stay with it, you know. And, so I had actually had experience even coming around when I was 14, 15 years old in different fellowships. I just never took it serious. I actually, check this out, I used to go to meetings, right? Get high before the meeting and get these dudes to pick me up that was involved, and I would sit in this meeting, man, and then I would feel real good, and I'd go home and I'd sit there and I'd get high and I'd think, man, that was a good meeting, right? You know what I mean? Because there was something about it, right? There was always something about the rooms that attracted me. You know what I mean? I just, you know, if you don't stop using, man, you can't get this thing, man. You know what I mean? You gotta put the drugs down first for this thing to sink in, you know? And my mind was so clouded up when I got here, right? No, I went through treatment, man. And treatment is not a requirement for Narcotics Anonymous, man. I mean, they say in the literature, it don't matter how you get here. I mean, you can lock yourself in a closet and get clean, man, as long as you do it. And I went in treatment for 14 days. When I got out, I just started going to meetings, man. I figured I had nothing else better to do. You know what I mean? My life was in shambles, man. I felt hopeless, man. I was 16 years old. This was February 16th, 2007. And, you know, I just got out, man, and it was like, I didn't have to do anything but show up, man. All I did was show up, man, and people just grabbed me up, you know what I mean? It's a lot of predecessors in here that I got clean with or were here when I got here, man, that, you know, they wouldn't let me do my own thing, man. They didn't let me, you know, wasn't a whole lot of young people in my area when I got clean, but it was a few of them floating around. There's actually a girl that I was in treatment with that's sitting in here today. She got one more day clean than I do, man. She's been clean ever since then. Right, he was in treatment together, man. It's a deep thing, man. And, you know, I just grabbed onto this thing, man. You know, I feel like, now that I've been around for a little while, man, you have no idea, like, how blessed I feel, man, to you know, be given the opportunity to basically grow up in this fellowship. You know, literally. You know what I mean? Like, if you're here today, man, and you don't know if you want to do this thing, man, just give it a shot, man. You know what I mean? You know, that's how I felt when I got clean, because I was at such a young age that, like, you know, I just didn't know if this is what I wanted to do. Do I want to sit in meetings the rest of my life? You know what I mean? With old people, you know what I mean? 40 and up, you know? And, you know, I didn't do half of the things they did, man. Look, if you never shot dope or smoked crack, man, check this out. You don't have to, man. You know what I mean? I wasn't trying to hear that stuff when I got clean, you know? I couldn't relate to that, you know? That's why I share, like, you know, literature say it don't matter about none of that, man. You know, if you can relate to it, that's cool. But, you know, for real, man, it's not even about the drugs, man. It's a living life program. And that's what they taught me how to do. You know what I mean? And it started for me, real simply, with, you know, meeting etiquette. You know what I mean? That's a big thing for me. That's a big thing a lot of young people, you know, are not being taught in Narcotics Anonymous is meeting etiquette. You know what I mean? They told me to sit in the front row when I got here. They told me not to play on my cell phone. Get a reading every meeting. You know what I mean? You know, they didn't tell me sit down and shut the F up and all of that, but they did say, you know, pain share is pain lesson if I need to share, you know what I mean? And I would do that. I got asked to do my first meeting when I had 90 days, man. I don't think a lot of people, you know, tend to ask people for 90 days. I guess it was just me being young. They saw something in me or whatever. But, you know, I was involved in this thing, man. I just jumped right in. You know what I mean? And like I said, they grabbed me up. You know, my first year, man, I went to probably like 450 meetings. You know what I mean? I ain't missed a day, so I had probably at least a year and a half, 2 years clean. You know, things just started changing in my life, right? People showed me how to, they had to show me how to do everything, man. I had no experience with getting a job, right, with doing any of that kind of stuff, man. They told me how to fill out applications, put in like 15, 20 applications, not sit around on the computer all day, you know, looking at porno and, you know, put in the application every once in a while, wait for them to call me. You know what I mean? I used to put in these applications, man, and I would bug the hell out of people. They told me bug the hell out of them, man. You know what I mean? So they get tired of you coming in there every day, and they give you a job. And that's what I did, man. That's what I did, man. I started out working in grocery stores and stuff like that, man, anywhere I could get in. You know what I mean? And you know, I was living with my mother at the time, right? Let me share this. When I was sitting in treatment, at the time both my parents were still using. And I remember sitting in there, right, and this counselor told me, you know, I was, you know, basically, man, just whining about, you know, what he was saying, playing the victim. Like, why am I sitting in there 16 years old and my parents are out there using? This guy sat me down and told me, sometimes you just got to lead by example. You know? When I got out of treatment, my mother decided to get clean. Whew. You know, Seven years has been a long time. It's like getting an opportunity, you know, to live a separate life. Let me get it together, man. Shit. Whew. Hey, people know me. I'm not scared to let a few out. Hey, if you ain't cried in the meeting, man, you get a turn. Trust me. Trust me. That's what they told me, man. Oh, man. And a lot has happened, man. You know, it's been a hell of a journey. You know, I've been able to do a lot of things, going through a lot of experiences. You know, I wish I could say, like, both my parents are still clean, but my father, he's kind of in and out. And my mother's trying to get back into it. You know, I just keep doing this thing, you know, trying to lead by example, man. That's all I could do, right? And the only person I could control is me. And, you know, like I said, man, they, you know, people just showed me how to do everything I need to know, man. You know, it started out real simple with meeting etiquette, and what I ended up doing was everything that they were showing me to do in the rooms was preparing me for what I had to do outside of the rooms. You know what I mean? As a matter of fact, yesterday, man, I have 7 years now. I just celebrated in February, man, and, you know, to be honest, man, I try to always, that's okay. That's how I was. Look. Man, Roderick over there always say, this is what I should have been doing my whole life anyway. You know what I mean? But, you know, I still try to consider myself a newcomer, man. I still remain teachable. Yesterday, I never knew what goodwill meant. And I went to this meeting on the symbol, and they were talking about goodwill being, you know, basically just doing the right thing, man. You know what I mean? Just doing what I'm supposed to do because I'm supposed to be doing it. And that's what guys were trying to show me, man. They were showing me how to grow up. You know, this is about growing up here to me, becoming a man, a woman, whatever. You know, the best son I could be, the best, you know, employee, employer, whatever. I want to share like a couple stories real quick. You know, to show you like how the program works, man. You know, I can remember having a few months clean. We had just moved up to this apartment complex, me and my mother, and I was on probation at the time, and I didn't. You know, I'm always been a big procrastinator, right? Always, man. Wait till the last minute to do everything. I learned it from my mom, for real. And, you know, I was waiting around all day to call people. You know what I mean? I'm supposed to be at probation in like 2 hours, and I'm calling people, trying to get a ride. Everybody in the program, nobody wanted to give me a ride. So I was talking to this guy, and I was like, you know, I'm just going to call her up and tell her, I'll get over there another day. I can't make it. And he was like, Mike, do you want to go to jail? I'm like, no. He's like, they're going to violate you if you don't go. It's that simple. You know what I mean? And I got off my ass. I don't know why I was wearing all black for some reason, but I'm wearing all black. I'm walking down the road. It's the middle of the summer. You know what I mean? And I'm, you know, it wasn't all that far. Like, I used to walk when I was using, man. You know what I mean? So why I was complaining that much, you know, I never drove. I didn't get my license until I was like almost 18 years old. So, you know, shit, I'm walking down the road, man, and one of the guys I had called, matter of fact, my grand sponsor, man, he came rolling down the street, right, and told me to jump in the truck. I got in the truck with him. He took me over to where I had to go. A little while later, I think he went to the barbershop. He took me to get something to eat, took me to a meeting, man, dropped me back off. And from something real simple like that, what I realized down the road was that was one of the first times that I realized that just putting one foot in front of the other, you know what I mean, everything be all right. It's always is okay, you know what I mean? It always is all right in the end. You know, nothing is ever that serious, right? I try not to get, like, caught up in my feelings, man. One of the things I learned about feelings is it's a fact that I feel, but they're not all fact, right? You know, sometimes it's necessary to just sit through how I feel, man. You know what I mean? First step stuff, man. Pause button. That first step got a pause button in there, man. If you don't know how to use it, man, start using that thing. You know, one of the things that I was, like, running from when I was using was my grandmother, you know. I wasn't really trying to have a whole lot of relationships with people in my family. And I have a small family anyway, you know, but on my father's side, my grandmother, you know, lived in an area. And she used to come over up until I was probably like 13 and knock on the door. And I would hide from her because I didn't want to, you know what I mean? I was trying to go. I wasn't trying to deal with some, you know, my grandmother. You know what I mean? At 13 years old. I hate to say it like that, but it's the truth. You know what I mean? And so I would avoid her, man. And as a result, man, like I put off that relationship for a long time without seeing her. You know what I mean? And just to show you like how dysfunctional my family was, I went to middle school and high school with two of my cousins on that side, man, a year older and a year younger than me. And we never spoke the whole time we were in middle school, high school together. We knew each other. We just didn't have, you know, we didn't speak about anything. So, you know, after I had a couple years clean, I started reconnecting with my grandmother, right? And her and my father always had a real bad relationship, and we sort of all kind of got reconnected, and I was going over there. And, okay, 5 minutes. This thing go fast. Man, I told you, you got to sit me down after a while. So, you know, I got reconnected with my grandmother, man, and, you know, it was really one of the best things I could have experienced, right? You know, I used to go to my grandmother's house. She was about 80 years old, and we sit in the kitchen at this table and just talk for hours, man. I used to tell her everything about my active addiction, right, about, you know, just growing up, talk about my father, talk about the family. And, you know, one of them times she asked me, did I know this guy Marcus that go to NA? And I was like, Marcus? I don't know a Marcus, right? Turned out I got a blood cousin that I've been listening to share in the rooms, man, for years, right? I had like about 3 years when I found this out. And anybody knows my cousin Marcus from Baltimore, man, he got a real good message, right? I've been hearing this guy share all the time. So now he's my blood cousin, man. Like, I would never even have found that out had I not, you know, put myself back in that situation, man. You know what I mean? Spent some time with my grandmother, man. And it was just stuff like that that, like, you know, is a gift of recovery. It can't, you know, it's irreplaceable, man. The time that I spend with people is irreplaceable. You know what I mean? One of the things I always talk about is, like, you know, going through, like, you know, like sickness and stuff like that with your family. You know what I mean? And, you know, my family, you know, it's small, man. It's just me and my father and my mother. And, you know, a few years ago, my father, as a result of this disease, got cirrhosis of the liver. You know, on top of that, he had a lot of other health issues like emphysema, diabetes, hep B, hep C, you know, all kinds of stuff, man. All as a result, you know, early 50s. He's in his late 50s now. But, you know, luckily, man, he came through it. He got the surgery, man. But he's never been the same, man. He's never been the same. And what's pretty much happened is the roles have been switched over. You know what I mean? To where as though it's sort of like I'm the father now, and he's sort of like a child in a lot of ways. You know what I mean? And, you know, it's been hard. It's definitely been a process for me to come to accept that, man. You know what I mean? Because I always felt like, you know, after I got clean, that I sort of got robbed a little bit. You know what I mean? That my father should have been there more for me and, you know, been more of a positive person. And, like, you know, why is this happening to me, basically? You know what I mean? Why do I, you know, at a young age have to take care of my father now? You know what I mean? And, man, he gives me a headache, man. Me and Travis were talking about it the other day, man. Like, you know, sometimes I just hang the phone up on him because I can't take it, man. It's crazy stuff. You know what I mean? What I realize is that, you know, he's a perfect example of what not to be, man. You know what I mean? And that just because he's my father doesn't mean that he's able to be what I think he should be as a father, man. You know what I mean? Just because you're a parent doesn't mean you're going to be a good father. It's okay. You know what I mean? You know? I don't have to lie about that, man. You know what I mean? But we do have a relationship, man. And what I realize is that, you know, he's still my father. At the end of the day, you know, he's not going to be here forever. You know what I mean? So I do try to spend time with him when I feel good. Some days I don't feel like it, man. You know what I mean? And also since then, talking about my mother, you know, she actually just moved down to North Carolina, man. I'm a huge mama's boy. You know, this time last year, she got diagnosed with lung cancer, stage 3. And I felt like I was the only person in the world that ever had to deal with that, man. I felt like I was unique. You know what I mean? And it's just been about showing up, man. I always share with people, you know, my sponsees and people that I talk to, like, you know, recovery is about doing stuff that I don't want to do all the time, man. You know what I mean? That's what life really is about, whether you're in recovery or not. Life is always going to show up. You know what I mean? And everybody gets a turn. You know, one thing the guys used to tell me, my predecessors, is that steps is not a fire extinguisher, right? The steps is to be used, you know, as a pre-measure. You know what I mean? It's something to prepare myself for when this type of stuff happens, man. You know what I mean? I'm not, you know, they're not used to put my ass out when I'm on fire, man. So, you know, when this type of stuff happens, man, I just call. You know, I already know what to do, man. It's second nature now, man. I pick up the phone. I tell people where I'm at. And I'm going to try to speed this up real quick. Like, I've been able to, you know, do a lot of things in my life since I've been clean, man. That, you know, people taught me how to build up credit. When I first got clean, I've been preparing myself for a few years now, man. Last year, February the 1st, I bought my first home, man. I was 22 years old. You know what I mean? They told me how to show up to work early, man. You know, I show up to work at least a half an hour early every day, man. To me, that's on time. If I'm on time, that's being late. You know what I mean? And by practicing principles like that in my life, man, the consistency, I've been able to, you know, my life is, I believe in making my life like as easy as possible, man. You know, I try to think about my retirement. Seriously, man, I'm 23. I try to think about all that stuff, man. Because I don't want to have to struggle the rest of my life, man. That's not what this is about. I want to set myself up to live the best life that I can, man. And it's possible here. It's only possible here, man. I'd have been probably in a penitentiary by now, man. You know? This thing is so vicious, man. You know what I mean? It's disease. You know, if you don't have a relationship with God, man, I suggest you get that, man. You know what I mean? I've found myself complacent in recovery, like Basil was talking about. You know, it's real easy to get when life starts getting, you know, good. When things start getting real good is when the disease really start getting on me. You know what I mean? Now, I always got to stay involved with this thing, man. I can never let anything take me away from this. This is everything to me. You know, I hear people say, and they gave them a life, but it's not their whole life. This is my life, man. This has been my life for 7 years, you know, and I hope it stay that way for another 40 years when I'm, you know, 50, 60 years old. You know what I mean? I'm serious, man. This is what I love doing. This is what I love doing, man. I love being around these people. You know what I mean? This is the only place I ever felt home at. You know what I mean? So, like, if you're sitting in this room tonight or today and you're here for this convention this weekend, man, just know that, like, you know, not everybody gets this gift. Not everybody gets this thing, man. You know, don't take advantage of it, man. You know what I mean? Mag, my name is Mike. Thanks for letting me share.